thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Yep.
Here's John Williams.
Actually, some good ones, too. We will ask for your bright side thoughts. That'll come your way 2:40 this afternoon. It's Friday.
Oh, have mercy.
You couldn't ask for a nicer one, and so you could ask, but I don't think you'll get one. This is about as good as it gets. The bright side, your happiness, the things that are making you smile. We'll do that at 2:40. You'll call in or text in. Tell us what's good in your world. That's the bright side. I know it sounds kind of corny and cheesy, but I'm telling you, it works every single time. You find yourself inventorying your life, yourself, your head. You're going, well, what am I happy about? What's making me smile? Bill and Wendy were on their show today talking with Steve Bertrand about their happiest days ever. Bill and Wendy observed that those days tend to be holidays and vacations. I'm driving my car listening to that thinking, I think a lot of holidays and vacations are to be endured, not celebrated. I'm listening to that thinking of some really bad vacations and holidays, and I was just glad I got through them. Some of them were swell as well, but I agreed with Bill and with Steve that some of our greatest moments, our little personal, wonderful happinesses that we still carry around to this day, are these very private, solitary moments. Solitary is not the right word, but I mean, it's not Christmas morning. It was the day I was mowing the lawn with the headphones on, listening to a Cubs game, making some money. I'm a young kid and I'm having the time of my life. And for some reason, those things resonate still years later. And I had a list like that myself. So I made them into brackets, which, by the way, I've been doing with a lot of things lately. I've been turning a lot of things in my life into brackets. Favorite flavors, favorite rocks and minerals, favorite foods at Thanksgiving. I found that it's a way to almost write your own biography. You could categorize your life and then share it with friends. In fact, if you turn to your husband or your wife or your kids and say, hey, give me the brackets of the, and make it a 16-team tournament, give me the brackets of the happiest moments in your life.
And it's then a simple visual that people can easily see and easily do. And it's then a good discussion point.
Isn't it, though? Because yeah. I don't know what they would be. For instance, Brenda and I have on my I have made brackets for memorable cries, times that I've cried in my life. Some of them out of physical pain, some of them out of emotional pain, some of them out of joy, some of them out of great unhappiness. But I still think about them. I can recall them and still feel them. And I've got about 15 or 16 of them when I think about it. I turned them into brackets. So now I've got these pages of brackets about myself. Favorite flavors, red apple is in my final four. I mean, you can do whatever you want. Thanksgiving foods, my final four are Waldorf salad, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and the rolls. We always had great rolls.
No sweet potatoes?
No, and turkey has already been done before. I can get some turkey. I can get some of these things. But, oh, the stuffing. And then with the gravy, with the mashed potatoes. I don't know how that's not my final two, but I love the Waldorf salad. And then I threw in the rolls. Kind of an outsider. Maybe a 16 seed. So
not always have your Cinderella entree.
Exactly. Mark Carmen is in our studio, too. Hi, Carm.
Hey, John. Good roll. Those don't grow on trees, man.
You get a potato roll with some bread, or maybe now those Hawaiian rolls, and you dip that and sop up the turkey gravy or the stuffing with that. Oh, is that a great moment.
Fresh, soft, moist. Come on.
Thank you. So that's in my brackets. And I think, I don't know which brackets you need to make. You may have ones that are important and different to you than to me. I have in brackets for inventions, for instance. Inventions, things that have touched my life that I think are just the most amazing thing. The clicker, seedless watermelon, the iPhone. So, you know, what are yours? More about that a little later on when we talk about TV. Matt Rausch will join us from TV Guide to preview the upcoming Emmys. I want to mention this, Mark. You're in the studio because I wanted to talk a little sports with you and particularly about something that you wrote. But first, let's start with a tweet from the president. All things go through the White House these days. The president said this to you today. He said ESPN is paying a really big price for its politics and bad programming. People are dumping it in record numbers. Apologize for untruth. Money.cnn.com wrote, the president said on Twitter that they're paying a big price. He was apparently referring to ESPN anchor Jemele Hill, who in a recent tweet said that Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Hill's assertion caused an uproar, particularly in conservative media circles, where ESPN's political bent has been a point of contention for years. He called for an apology, which is also noteworthy, says CNN. Hill addressed the controversy earlier this week, but she pointedly did not apologize for her white supremacist statement. She only expressed regret for painting ESPN in an unfair light. Neither Hill nor ESPN could immediately respond to the president's Friday morning tweet. Neither Hill nor ESPN immediately responded to the president's Friday morning tweet calling for her ouster. The current controversy erupted Monday night when she called him a bigot, a threat, a white supremacist, and so forth. Maybe she should not be doing that, but we have more than one intersection these days between politics and sports. Mark, you wrote on a website you work with, and that's called fansided.com, right?
That's correct, yep.
Is this also going to be posted at WGN Radio?
It is. That is in the works. Our guru, Dave Marzullo, has the goods.
If you want to finish the story, I'll read the first paragraph or so, and then you can follow it there. The story of two-time NBA champion and three-point champion Craig Hodges bears strong similarities to what is happening to Colin Kaepernick. You wrote, Craig Hodges never thought his career was going to end when he was only 32. He was one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. He won the three-point shootout in 1990, 91, 92, and was a well-respected teammate on back-to-back NBA championship Chicago Bulls. But the Bulls released him after the 92 season, and no other NBA team came calling. His NBA career was over. Hodges traces the end to October 1991. President Bush had invited the Bulls to the White House to celebrate their first NBA championship. Hodges wore a dashiki and wrote a letter highlighting the challenges facing African-American community, which he personally delivered to the White House press secretary. And in Hodges' view, it was the dashiki that had the biggest impact on his fate. NBA teams decided his talent wasn't enough to justify the distraction he might cause. Over 25 years later, Colin Kaepernick may suffer a similar fate after choosing to kneel during the national anthem for the entire 2016 NFL season. Many were optimistic Kaepernick would be back in the league this season, but the hope is fading. There are multiple teams in desperate need of a quarterback, but none have turned to Kaepernick. While Kaepernick is not an elite player, he's unquestionably one of the 60 best quarterbacks in the world. The question, as it was for Hodges, is why? Why ain't nobody picked him up?
So it's a simple, I don't know, math moral equation, I guess is how I would put it, right? If he was Tom Brady elite or Peyton Manning elite, then Colin Kaepernick would have a job.
He'd be worth the headache.
He would be worth the headache. But as the arguably, say, at best, maybe 23rd best quarterback in the world to, on the downside, maybe 32, somewhere in there, however you want to script it, that's not worth potentially losing sponsors, potentially losing fans, and the circus that Colin Kaepernick would bring, because he's not going to take you over the top. Now, this is a guy who had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions last year, a quarterback rating of 90, which are all decent numbers. Now, he also was on a team that didn't win many games because they were awful, the 49ers. So he's not going to turn around a team by himself. He's not that talented. It's the same thing with Hodges. Hodges wasn't nearly as in the public light like Kaepernick is.
He wasn't instrumental like Pippen or some of those guys.
No, and people didn't really necessarily know what was going on with Hodges, but he was a guy.
I didn't know this story about him.
Right. So, but he was a guy who was a specialist, great three-point shooter,
sure.
Valuable guy to have when you know you need him when you need him. And he was very well-respected in that locker room. Like I talked to Bill Cartwright, who was the center on the team, loved Hodges. Same thing with B.J. Armstrong. Same thing with Horace Grant. Sam Smith, who covered the team, is in the piece. There's a whole. I have a whole video out on it. Love you to check it out. So everybody speaks well of Craig, but
He was 32.
He was 32.
And he wasn't a five-tool player, right?
No.
He wasn't your point guard. He didn't play great defense. He wasn't getting a lot of rebounds.
Right.
His game was a little like Steve Kerr's, maybe, would you say?
Sure.
Back in the day?
Sure.
But he still had some tread on the tire. Somebody needs a three-point shooter.
You would think. What's more interesting to me, John, is that the Bulls got him. Okay, fine. And they went out and won the title the next year. They're third in a row at the time. However, nobody even called the guy. He didn't get a tryout. He got nothing. So,
and has it largely been understood that it was because he was just seemed to be too strident?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, here is a guy who, you know, he went to the White House. He wore the robes.
At least he went to the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, another way to protest is to not go.
Well, and on that team, everybody went except for Michael, who had a problem. He didn't say it publicly at the time, but he did not like President Bush. He didn't go.
Wait a minute. Michael Jordan doesn't go.
Right.
Hodges does, wears a dashiki, and he can't find work?
Well, right. So
there's the difference. Anybody would hire Jordan. Anybody would hire almost anybody on that team. But Hodges, you could live without.
Exactly.
Okay, so now go back to Kaepernick.
So back to Kaepernick, you can live without him. You don't. He is, if you get to your backup quarterback in the NFL, most times your season's over anyway.
Okay, so are you mad at the NFL?
Yeah, to a point. Here's a guy who definitely belongs on a roster. You've got billionaire owners.
Whose job is it to fix that, right? I mean, do you blame the Bears if they needed a quarterback or Team X? Give me an example of a team that really could use him.
Indianapolis could use him. Houston could use him.
Okay, and they haven't hired him.
And they haven't hired him, yep.
Okay, can you at least understand why they're not?
Absolutely.
Assuming that it is for the reasons you're suggesting.
Absolutely. I get it. The Baltimore Ravens were going to hire him, apparently. And Steve Bisciotti, their owner, asked their fans to pray for the Ravens on making the decision.
Did he really?
Yeah. And Steve Bisciotti.
Hey, God, if you're listening, I know you got a lot on your plate up there. And if you decide not to weigh in on who the next quarterback for the Ravens is, what would there be in hurricanes and taxes and murders and all? I'm cool with that. Back to you.
Fans, please pray for us on this decision. And I just, you know, I did a little op-ed on that one. You're a billionaire owner. You're worth reported $3.7 billion.
Put on your big boy pants and make the decision.
Hey,
yourself.
Man, if you lose a sponsor, your life's not going to change.
Well, what do you think the financial impact is? I mean, maybe people would rally to the cause and say, wow, look at that. They have the courage of their convictions, and the player does. And it's about what's on the field, not what's, you know, all this other stuff. I mean, I wonder if it would have, it probably would have hurt him, right?
I think there'd be a very vocal minority screaming that they're never going to watch Baltimore Ravens football again, and I personally don't believe any of them.
And they're going to watch.
Right.
Okay, but what would Kaepernick do if he were hired by a team? Would he still be taking the knee?
No, and that's the other thing. He has said that he will stand this year. So is he, I mean, I just said from a, even if you say, like, what he did was wrong and he disrespected the country, and if he doesn't like it, he should be out of the, then go work somewhere else. Even if you take that view, should he be banned for life from playing the sport? Or
he's not banned for life.
Right.
He's not banned for life.
What should be his punishment? Yeah. So I guess what I'm asking.
Well, you know, I think a lot of us, about a lot of things, say let the marketplace decide, right? And the marketplace is deciding not to hire him. It's not like there's a grand conspiracy here. It's not like they've colluded because they're racist.
Some claim that they have, but I do not believe that at all.
Seriously?
Yeah, there's
chatter about them all saying, let's not, the league doesn't need this right now?
Yep, I mean, people are saying he's blackballed, which is collusion, which I don't believe that to be the case at all. I think each...
Well, if you can make that case, it's a completely different conversation. I think each team individually is looking out for its own self-interest in deciding not to hire him.
Absolutely. There's no reason for them to collude. What they actually try to do is, for lack of a better word, they try to screw each other. We're going to say we're going to draft this guy, but actually, no, we're doing this. I mean, we're going to make this trade, and they're not in it. They're trying to beat each other. They're trying to eliminate each other.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why but that's the marketplace deciding. I mean, really, if their own selfish interest is to be the best team in the league, and they think Kaepernick can help, then I think they would look past the controversy that he creates.
But so it's interesting, though. They will take guys on, like the Dallas Cowboys will take on a guy like Greg Hardy, who threw his girlfriend down on a pile of guns and had physical violence and is accused of that. They'll bring that guy in, but yet the dude who just donated another $100,000 last month to different causes and he's doing $1 million total.
That's Kaepernick?
Yeah. Then that's...
Well, that's interesting because if we think about some of the other people in the NFL who have done things that are less than perfect, and while this is controversial, at least this is a serious young man with a message, and you may not agree with it, but it's not like he's taking guns through the airport, right? So what other bad actors then in the NFL have we all decided are okay, but Kaepernick is not?
Well, and we mentioned the Ravens earlier. They hired Dante Stallworth. He was convicted of manslaughter. They had Ray Lewis, who was convicted of obstruction of justice on a double murder.
Who we forgave, by the way. What a wonderful story that was.
Right. So it's just there. It's very interesting where our point is on what sponsors will bail on and will stay around on. You look in the mirror and it gets a little uncomfortable.
Mark Harmon's piece is at WGNradio.com or will be in moments, but you can certainly see it right now on a website he writes for, Fansided, one word, Fansided.com. I got another question for you, Carm. Stay right there. Mark Harmon's in our studio. His op-ed at WGNradio.com and at Fansided.com is about Colin Kaepernick, but interestingly, also about Craig Hodges. Kaepernick may be suffering a similar fate as Craig did. Talented athlete, not a superstar, but capable of still playing in a league that now doesn't want him, maybe because they said something they shouldn't.
One thing that's interesting about Craig, he's now the basketball coach at Rich East High School where he played back in the day.
Oh, really?
So his players came...
What's that pay? About 1.2, 1.3? Yeah, what are we looking at?
$1,200. I mean, if he's getting a grand, that's probably good. I think those gigs would really pay like $500-$600. Yeah. But regardless, his players came to him last year and said, "Coach, we want to take a knee for Kaepernick and honor you."
Craig Hodges players?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he said
basketball players.
His basketball players. Now these are high school kids. And he told them no, which is in the video in the piece. No. You can learn about your forefathers. You can read and become more educated. I believe he uses the word cultivated. But I'm not gonna allow you to make a statement right now when you know, out of emotion when you don't really know what you're talking about.
Okay, right, but he did make a statement, Craig Hodges did, when he essentially protested at the White House. He wore a dashiki. He handed a protest letter to the press secretary. He at least went, but he's saying these kids are too formative. They really don't know what they're talking about.
Right, right. I mean, Craig, you know, he went to Long Beach State. He studied black studies. His family's been always very, very educated
that
way.
No, I get it. I think an adult male has a different perspective, knows what they're getting themselves into than these amped up kids. I mean, right. I protested stupid stuff when I was in high school. It was nothing like this, but it wasn't worth all the ruckus. Real quick, so compare and contrast Colin Kaepernick to Jay Cutler.
Oh, that's a good one, right? So the Dolphins all of a sudden need a quarterback. And who do they turn to? Kaepernick? No, they go to Jay Cutler, who already had a job in a TV booth, who had pictures all over Instagram during the summer, jumping off of boats, getting clearly fat. They asked him about it. Are you in shape to play quarterback? I don't really need to be in shape to play quarterback. Jay Cutler, numerous teammates have complained about him. Kaepernick is a guy who was given the Courage Award by his teammates and just got honored by the NFL Players Association this week as the number one guy in the NFL because he just did his donation of $100,000 this month to four different causes, $25,000 each. And Cutler last year, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Kaepernick, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Cutler gets a gig.
What about Michael Vick?
And that's another good one, right? Here's a guy who killed dogs, was awful, animal rights, all that, and went to jail, and deservedly so. But also paid his debt to society, and I think a guy like that, as bad as it was, deserves another job.
He did get another job.
And he got another job.
Yeah. Kaepernick is sitting on the sidelines. Is he ever going to play again?
I think we're getting to a point where
he's not getting any younger.
He's not getting any younger. He's only 29 years old. I don't think he is, John. I really don't.
But not because of his ability, but because of these issues.
Right. Too much hubbub to bring him in.
It's a really interesting, well-thought, well-written piece. Fansided.com, WGNradio.com. Mark Carmen. When are you on the radio again, Mark?
We'll be here tomorrow. Harry Tynowitz and I out from Ryan Field, little Northwestern in Bowling Green ahead of that. We'll do a ton of Bears talk as week two.
We're all on location tomorrow. Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, is doing his show from the United Center for the Blackhawks training camp.
Okay.
I'll be out there afterwards with my show, and then I guess we'll be handing it over to you guys, huh?
On the road tomorrow, huh, John?
Don't make that face. It's 1:32. Thank you, Carmen.